Good morning and welcome to Second Ballet Easton. We're always pleased to have visitors worshipping with us. Today, none more so than our friends and neighbours and the minister and his family from First Congregation. We do hope that you, Eddie, and the family will enjoy your holidays. Everyone's invited over to the hall for some refreshments at the close of this service, courtesy of the Mills family. Our 11 a.m. United Summer Services continue next Sunday. There are leaflets on the hall table for the Holiday Bible Club and Firsts, information about which is contained in your order of service. Last month we mentioned that Rodney, our praise band leader, was having a charity concert, and I'd like to congratulate him on raising over £3,000 for the Children's Hospice and the Royal National Institute for the Blind. We've been asked to announce that the garden of Kay and John Campbell at Donegore will be open to the public in aid of the Alzheimer's Society on the afternoons of Friday and Saturday, the 22nd and 23rd of this month. Other announcements are on the order of service.
Good morning, everyone. As Robert said, the first of our United Services, when we'll have a competition over the next couple of months to see who's the most Presbyterian congregation as you all fight for the back seats. It looks like a dead heat this morning, but we'll see how things go on through these months of June or July and August. As we go through our services these 2 months, Eddie and I will be helping us to look at Paul's message in 2 Corinthians. The series is called Connections, and we're thinking about how our faith builds community together. To help us think about that today, just to begin with, when you came in, you were given this. Now, some of you may know what it is. Some people didn't. It's an old symbol for the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's a theme that will come through again and again in Paul's writings in Corinthians. But today, we're thinking about this theme of connections, that actually, in Jesus, we're brought into the center of the life of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So what I want you to think about as we think about God's care for us today is just for a moment to look this little symbol, to pause and to remember this, that your life in through Christ has been brought into the very center of God, that you're loved and cared for. And how does it feel to know that you're surrounded by the love and care of God? So maybe not just after today, stick it in the kitchen. Leave it on a mantelpiece. Keep it beside your bed to remind you this week that God is with us always and cares for us. So we'll have a moment just to reflect on this image. Come to God, come to the Father, come to the Son, come to the Spirit. Come one and all together as companions, together as God's beloved, together in worship. Come and worship a God who is always with us, a God who will never leave us, a God who is constant in all our lives. Come into worship together as one.
Come on and celebrate His gift of love. We will celebrate the Son of God who loved us and gave us life. We'll shout your praise, O King. You give us joy nothing else can bring. We give to you our offering in celebration praise. Come on and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate and sing. Celebrate and sing to the King. Come on and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate and sing. Celebrate and sing to the King. Come on and celebrate His gift of love. We will celebrate the Son of God who loved us and gave us life. We'll shout your praise, O King. You give us joy nothing else can bring. We give to you our offering in celebration praise. Come on and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate and sing. Celebrate and sing to the King. Come on and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate and sing. Celebrate and sing to the King.
Boys and girls, do you want to come and join me up at the front? And if you're upstairs, come on down. Come say hi. Hey there. All right, Connor. Few more coming. Well, how's everybody? Good. You finished school yet? Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah.
Oh. Is that good, mums and dads? Did you hear that? All right, girls. Now, in church on Sunday, what are the kind of things we do? We sing. We just sang a song there. What else do? You remember?
Pray.
We pray. Who do we pray for? That's a more difficult question, is it?
God and Jesus.
We pray to God, yes. But who do we pray for? Who are the kind of people we could pray for? Who do you think?
Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Sick people.
People. Sick people. Now, that's a good idea, isn't it? If somebody's not well, it's nice to pray for them so that hopefully they get better. You do that? Yeah. Who else could we pray for that would need our help? Any ideas?
Homeless people.
Homeless people, yeah, people who need help. Anybody else? Choir? Who could we pray for?
Family.
Family? Pray for family? Band? Pray for the minister, he needs it. I can assure you of that. Do you know what? The list would go on and on and on. As the Bible tells us that God loves the whole world. And so we should always be praying for everyone, not just the people we know, and not just family. It's important to do that. Not even just for the minister, not just for people who need our help or who are sick, but for everyone. God wants us to care for the whole world just the way God does. And one of the ways we do that in church is we pray for others. So I thought we're going to do that now. So we're going to ask everybody to stand up. Do you want to stand up with me? So if you can see the words on the screen, you see the ones in yellow? So it says, hear our prayer, O God. We're going to try saying that together. So one, two, three, hear our prayer, O God. So you're going to help in the prayers today, all right? And what we're going to do is I'll read the words in white, and we're going to pray for as many people as possible, and then we're going to sing a song about God's love for everybody at the very end, because he's got the whole wide world in his hands. And I know some of you know this very well. We'll do the actions as well. So you got that? So the words, hear our prayer, O God. And I'm going to read the ones in white. Okay. So you have the whole world in your hands, O God, for the tiny little baby, fragile and small. Hear our prayer, O God. For children who are ill or scared or hungry. Hear our prayer, O God. For teenagers who are frightened or hurting, hear our prayer, O God. For grown-ups with problems and worries, hear our prayer, O God. For older people who are ill or lonely, hear our prayer, O God. You have the whole world in your hands, O God. Hear our prayer, O God. And we're going to sing.
The whole wide world in his hands, he's got the
Thank you for helping us in our prayers today. And if you want, there's some of the activity packs, if you don't have one yet, to use in the service. You want to go back to your seats now?
A reading from the St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted to us in answer to the prayers of many. Thanks be to God.
A prayer of confession. Let us pray. God, our Father, present with us in all circumstances, we gather to praise you today as your mixed body of believers. Some of us are gathered fresh from a week of achievement and success, others from a week of trouble and distress. Together we celebrate and commiserate as one, seeking to support our brothers and sisters in Christ in the roller coaster of life, this earthly pilgrimage through the highs and lows of our journey. Where one of us laughs, together we share the joy. Where one of us cries, together we share the pain. One body, one people, one church. As you exist in sacred relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so we worship one with each other no matter what, happy or sad, energetic or tired, enthused or frustrated, inspired or discouraged. Help us to pray with each other, with empathy, with thoughtful love. Help us to sing with each other, with awareness of all. Help us to listen to each other, with ears to hear and hearts to feel. O Lord, our God, we ask it in your name. We confess our need of you, as we confess our need of human fellowship too. In this church, let us be open to love of all varieties, human and divine, as we offer our prayer in the name of the suffering servant, Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. The author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. The author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. The author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But we hope for what we do not yet have. We wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Thanks be to God.
Here I am, humbled by your majesty, covered by your grace so free. Here I am, knowing I'm a sinful man, covered by the blood of the Lamb. And now I found the greatest love of all is mine, since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Majesty, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. Here I am, humbled by the love that you give, forgiven so that I can forgive. Here I stand, knowing that I'm your desire, sanctified by glory and fire. And now I found the greatest love of all is mine, since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. Singing majesty, majesty, forever I am changed by your love, in the presence of your majesty, majesty.
Let's pray. God, our Father, we give thanks for Scripture that bears witness to Jesus, our Savior. And as we journey through the words of Paul over these 2 months, we ask that your Spirit would guide us, not just in the words that are spoken from a pulpit, but in our understanding and in our hearts, that we may grow to love and adore you more and more. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Wreath lectures are a series of lectures that are broadcast on Radio 4 this past week. There was one by the novelist Hilary Mantel. Now, you might have heard of her. She's had a TV series that was very, very popular for a lot of people. I have to say, I loved it. It's about the mad, psychotic English monarchy, and it was called Wolf Hall, a fictional account of Thomas Cromwell's rise to power in the court of Henry VIII, and it was bloody and gory and wonderful and full of intrigue, all that kind of stuff. Hilary Mantel's books are all over the world. In fact, she was giving a lecture from Poland, if I remember. No, it was from Belgium. She's an international figure. What was interesting, though, when she was talking, and it's really worth a listen if it's what you're interested in, she didn't kind of boast to go about, yes, I'm wonderful and all the rest of it. One of the things she talked about that had shaped her was pain. In fact, the subject of the lecture was about suffering and about one particular person that she was writing about, a Polish writer. But she also talked about her own suffering. She talked about, said, that as she had got into her 20s as such, looking after her body became like a second job. Pain. Nobody knew what was wrong with her. Chronic pain. And she was writing. She was fascinated by the French Revolution, so she wrote this big gargantuan novel, spent ages and ages, all of her 20s obsessing about this while suffering with all of this pain. And nobody wanted to publish it. Nobody even wanted to read it. She said, my 20s were all about failure. And somebody said, do you want to change that? She said, no. Because she said, it made me the novelist I am today. Listening to her as I was getting ready for this sermon and thinking about Paul's words, I thought that reflected a bit of the truth that Paul's trying to get across to us. We live in a world where everybody thinks you should be successful. Have you been on Facebook today? How many of you, if you posted something, said, my life is awful and I'm just useless? Or did you go, here's my fabulous home or my fabulous children, I'm going on holiday, yaboo, sucks to the whole rest of you. That's Eddie's post, by the way. All of these things, we quite often will post our successes. Here's my child. Aren't they doing so well? Look at my glory. And yet here we come to Scripture today. And just like the apostle or Hilary Mantel, we hear not of great success, but of suffering, of despair. And this is good news. Paul is reflecting on his own experience of seeking to be faithful to God. But it got to the point, as he talks about there, as he said, we don't want you to be uninformed. No fake Facebook posts here. We don't want you to be uninformed about the hardships we suffered, for we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. This is an apostle. One of God's chosen to go and proclaim good news. Is talking about despair. How do you feel about your faith? How do you feel about your Christian witness? Is it a success? When did you last share good news with someone? Some of us sometimes may not feel much of a success when it comes to our faith. And then Paul doesn't just talk about this, though. He talks about suffering. And none of us want to suffer. But I know you have. So many of you at different times have had to deal with heartache. So many of you at different times have despaired of life itself. But Paul says, even here, there's good news. We may not know We may not understand, but we're told that God uses everything, everything about us, for a greater glory. Do you ever realize that includes your failures, your mistakes, your wonky faith, even perhaps the pain you've had to endure? Because these things will not last. And in God's gracious plan, we are offered a future that we can't even imagine. So perhaps if you do feel a failure in the faith, take heart, because God can use you. Perhaps if you're suffering right now, know that God can use all things, because God always has. God uses our weaknesses. And to suffer is not a failure in God's kingdom. If you were one of the people who came along or heard about, we had a tour last week called Radical Thinkers. And we were touring three places in North Belfast, connected to our village here, through things with the United Irishmen and our own Presbyterian traditions. We ended up in a building called the Duncairn. It used to be my grandmother's church. I actually ended up working as a youth worker there. It's now called the Duncairn. It was a congregation that went into stark decline. With the 70s and the murder campaign going on in the very alleyways in that part of Belfast, the congregation fled. People were coming in from places like Temple Patrick or Larne to come in the day. They were becoming disconnected to the very place that the building was in. And as the congregation dwindled, there was no money. And as time went on, Presbytery stepped in, joined them with St. Enoch's, another failing Presbyterian church in the area. And the building was shut. It ended up as a carpet sales room and an antique showroom. But today it's been transformed. Now, it calls itself the Duncairn Arts and Cultural Centre, but that's just one small part of it. In 1983, a group of Christians, including those from Duncairn Presbyterian, with the leadership from there, set up a group called the 174 Trust. It was to be a group aiming to provide a local Christian witness. And they drew people from different denominations, but it was the Presbyterian Church, and it was the money from the people in Duncairn that started out. First, they had a little shop, and they did simple things like just go into people's homes. That helped to do DIY around the place. And all through the time, Duncairn itself was collapsing. There was one time somebody came in and used the gallery as a toilet. Building was being smashed all the time. If anybody was asked about Presbyterians in the area, they'd have told you they were loudmouths and bigots and didn't care about them. But yet, in an act of faith, members of that congregation stuck with it. And the 174 Trust continued and grew. You might not have thought that if you're in the 80s and 90s in Duncairn and you watched your building collapse around you. But now the building itself has been revisioned and reused in a dramatic way because of the faithfulness of those early Christians, or those Christians in the 80s. And they continue to do simple things. It's led by a Presbyterian minister, but nobody notices that, thankfully. To do remarkable things in the area, to build community. And it came out of failure. Never think that your failures, your sins, your mistakes, your faith, if it's not strong enough, your congregation, if you don't think it's healthy enough, God uses everything. Remember what Paul said? We despaired of life itself, yet by God's grace, he knew that we would be delivered from such a deadly peril. And he wrote, if you remember this, but this happened,
that we might not rely on ourselves but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So an encouragement to you today. Keep going. Keep going in your prayers. Keep going in your witness. Keep going in your forgiveness. Keep going in your sharing. Keep going in your Christian faith. For God has great plans for all of you. And we continue to worship God with our offering.
Let us pray. God, we give what we can for your kingdom's purposes. Take what we offer to help heal the hurting, to bind up the broken hearts, to offer care and compassion, especially where they are lacking. Suffering servant Jesus, our Lord, we pray. In words we pray, in silence we pray. In sorrow, we pray for our suffering, hurting world. For Lord, sometimes we do not have the words. Where children die unjustly, where individuals receive terrible news, where our brothers and sisters in humanity starve in a harsh world, we feel some of their pain, and we seek to carry some of it now with them. We pray because we believe you care. We pray because we know you hear us. We pray because we ache for help and healing in the face of this world's tragedies and traumas, and we long that all would be well. So for those in our midst who are suffering today, we take a moment to remember them. For those in our wider church who are suffering today, we take a moment to remember them. And for any in our world who are suffering today, we take a moment to remember them. In silence or with our words, we reach out to you on behalf of others in need. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayers. Amen.
Thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise with my mighty hand and outstretched arm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us. Forever and ever, forever. From the rising to the setting sun, His love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever and ever, forever. His love endures forever, His love endures forever, His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. And ever, forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever and ever, forever.
Don't forget, we hope you'll all join us for tea and coffee and juice in the hall immediately after worship. But may God bless us as we go in hope together. God bless us as we share the road together. God bless us as we walk in trust together. God bless us in His footsteps, in His fellowship, through His faith in us. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each one of you, now and always. And all God's people said, Amen.
His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. sing praise.